You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Chief Ombudsman Peter Boshier has recently highlighted the danger of prisoners being released without their mental health needs being met in prison. He also discussed the difficulty of meeting the needs of prisoners with our high prison population. I spoke with Peter, first asking him how detrimental to rehabilitation overcrowded prisons are.
Well, I think it's very detrimental. And the thing that we've stressed in some of our recent reports is that as the prison population becomes larger and larger and there's less and less private space, and with some prisoners entering with higher and higher mental health needs, it's just a bit of a cocktail for real trouble. So the point I've been making is we just need to understand that if we're releasing prisoners who are even worse mentally when they go out than when they came in, it's a recipe for bad news for the future.
Is mental health issues amongst prisoners quite high in this country?
It is very high. And I think that's for a mixture of reasons, including the taking of a wide range of substances now, which are often psychotic-inducing. And the fact is that when you are acting out an episode and you've got less and less space, and for instance you're double bunking, you're more likely to have someone as the object of your frustration, your acting out and your violence. And that's what my inspectors are seeing, alarming and increasing rates of violence in our prisons.
And double bunking, that has increased over the years. Why is it better that a prisoner has a cell by themselves?
I just think it stands to reason. You're not talking, as you know here, about highly functional people. Where you've got very functional people who have all these range of coping mechanisms that they can cope with encroachment of their personal space. When you haven't got that and you are maybe deluded anyway, then you're much more likely to react to someone who you think's done something, and we've seen this. So that's why I think, generally speaking, this convention under which I operate does not encourage double bunking. It sees it as not a good standard.
Are we seeing increased violence in prisons?
We are. And it's not just my observation, by the way. We have people called visiting justices who go into prisons and hear incidents that arise. They're reporting that they're seeing alarming incidents of violence. Visiting barristers who go in are seeing it. And I think you'll find corrections acknowledge it's a real problem.
And a lot of the prisons in this country are getting well past their use-by date, and the cells are not exactly up to scratch. How do the poor state of cells impact the mental health of prisoners?
The concern my inspectors have when they see minimalist cells is that it reduces you to whatever self-esteem you might have had. There's not going to be much left when you're reduced to a minimalist cell. And sometimes you are watched, of course, while you're doing your ablutions by a video camera if the view is taken that security requires you to be constantly monitored. So you're pretty reduced to an object rather than a subject.
So it's just not treating prisoners like human beings?
I'd rather put it in this way. I'd rather say that we subscribe to standards. That's why Lachlan, New Zealand's just been rated the best transparent country in the world, the least corrupt country in the world. And the brief background there is that last year we were one equal with Denmark. Now we've overtaken Denmark. And how do you keep that spot of the most trusted, the country with the best standards? Well, you don't let your guard down and you don't let your standards drop. So we are pretty vociferous about what we see because we want New Zealand to retain its top rung on the ladder.
Do you see the prison system as itself is sort of inherently flawed, and it's geared more towards punitive justice rather than the rehabilitation of prisoners?
I don't comment on that. That's getting into policy. My sole brief is under this Crimes of Torture Act, and my edict with the statute under which I operate is to go in, inspect and report back. So the policy behind prisons, their existence and why the numbers are increasing is outside something I comment on. I retain my pure interest in what I see.
Solitary confinement can also have an effect on the mental health of prisoners. Do you feel this is having a negative effect on some prisoners' mental health?
Oh, I don't doubt that solitary confinement brings its own psychological pressures, especially for someone who, as I say, is suffering from psychotic delusions. Again, getting back to why we comment on this in our reports, there are standards set for maximum periods of solitary confinement, and that's because it's recognised that, on the one hand, solitary confinement may need to occur for the orderly operation of a prison and discipline and so on. On the other hand, how you treat prisoners can't be compromised in terms of standards. So my answer to your question is, for two reasons, you've got to be careful about the use of solitary confinement.
Do you feel that these sort of regulations around solitary confinement are being met in our prisons?
The inspectors every so often take the view that solitary confinement might be being overdone, and the reports clinically go through the records and look at what's happened and report back on it. Of more concern, as you may know, has in fact been the use of tie-down beds and restraints, and that takes two forms. One is actual restraint on a bed so that you're completely unable to move for long periods of time. The other thing they use are handcuffs in which your hands are restrained by handcuffs which are in turn tied to your waist, and for quite long periods of time prisoners are immobilized through this method. But both of these you've got to watch, don't you, because you want there to be reasonable standards of humanity.
You've warned that we're at risk of falling below standards set by the United Nations optional protocol. What do you feel needs to be done to stop this from happening?
Why we report so honestly, so robustly, and we now do it to Parliament and publish, is that by drawing attention to standards which we feel are not up to scratch, you bring about change. I don't think there's any doubt about that if people feel under scrutiny and they feel a sense of even criticism, they try and do something about it. An example, I think you'll find that since our seminal report almost exactly a year ago on the use of tie-down beds, they're hardly used at all now. So I think the Office of the Ombudsman, probably the most constitutionally important office in the country, by the way, has a really important role in ensuring that people who are vulnerable, people who rely on others to give them standards and a fair go, do their job and are accountable. And our job is to make sure that we do it properly.
And so would you like to see more mental health funding for prisoners, or a reduction in prison numbers, or both need to be tackled?
Well, this is an interesting question, and while that verges on policy, what I would like to say is that someone has to take responsibility for addressing the mental health needs of prisoners. And if that's to be corrections, it's to be corrections. If it's to be the Ministry of Health, so be it. But it can't fall in the middle with no one picking it up, and that's what's happening at the moment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.